And on RN, this is Books and Arts Daily with Michael Cathcart. Well, Sydney's 18-day Vivid Festival of Light, Music and Ideas is in full swing. It's a real feast for the senses, this. There are these wonderful light installations and projections all around Sydney. There's the spectacular lighting of the sails on the Sydney Opera House. It looks absolutely magical. And there's a wonderful water theatre show at Darling Harbour, a real sight to behold. Now, Vivid Ideas is another dimension of this festival. There's about 200 talks, conversations and debates happening all the time with some of the world's best creative minds. Regina Botros went to a couple of the pop-up galleries near the Museum of Contemporary Art at Sydney's Circular Quay to meet with the festival director as well as some of the artists involved with Vivid Ideas.
Jess Scully is the festival director of Vivid Ideas in Sydney. Now in its fifth year, Vivid Ideas explores the creative sector, bringing the imagination to the forefront of debate. There are conferences, panels, workshops, exhibitions and more going on with both local and international creatives involved.
We actually just counted. There's 187, 500 speakers. There's the Ten Commandments of Creative Practice. There's the Making Of series. There's a series of highlight events. There's a series of key exhibitions like the Happiness one. But then there's also a whole lot of industry conferences that we've collaborated with industry peak bodies or key companies within the creative industry. So they're presenting their own events and their own conferences as well.
I get the feeling it moves from both the personal space to the public space, right?
That's right. I mean, one of the things that I think is really crucial about what we're doing here is that it's about optimism and hope and possibility. I think we're living in a time where human ingenuity, creativity, the new platforms that connect us, the tools that are much more accessible to all, are actually allowing more people to tap into their creativity and imagination and find solutions for the world that we live in.
Well, able to meet some of the people involved in the festival. I'm here at a pop-up gallery right near the Museum of Contemporary Art on George Street in Sydney, and I'm with Mauro Bodoni, Italian photojournalist and photo editor of independent magazine Colours, here with an exhibition on happiness. I suppose when you talk about happiness, you really are talking about unhappiness or depression, is that right?
Yeah, we started actually the magazine with the sentence, which is, in 20 years, depression will be the biggest health burden in the world. So we're talking about happiness, but we start with the fact.
In your magazine, you have contributors or contributions from around the world, people telling their stories. I find this one fascinating, a living funeral. This is quite frightening to think about it.
Yes, it is. And actually, I can tell you that even the photographer, which we sent on assignment, was really shocked by this story.
So they get together and they have a mock funeral where they lay in their coffin.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of a therapy in which patients attend their own funeral in order to reconnect with the will to live. And it's a practice that helps prevent suicides. And some of the Korea's biggest firms are fans, including Samsung, which has built a fake funeral chapel on inside.
They've got their own funeral chapel, Samsung, is that right? Because they believe so much in this practice. What is it about knowing that you're going to die, that you live more?
Well, there is like also a nice and interesting video that we made. People just gather, they go on a Saturday morning to this place where they ask them to write their wills, and then they reenact, they enact like a kind of a funeral. So they have coffins, and they are forced to stay in the coffin for several minutes.
Wow.
It was very moving also to see the people, because they were like crying, they really experienced the death.
Then they got their death certificate at the end. Over here, we're talking about smiling.
This is in Kentucky, and we have these amazing portraits of beauty pageants.
There are four young girls. I don't know how old they are, maybe.
From 5 to 6 years old.
5 or 6. They all look like copies of each other, actually. They're the beauty pageant kind of young youth, but their smiles are studied, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this was like a jumping off point to talk about how to fake a smile. Because actually we realized that even faking a smile makes you feel a little bit happier.
So you've got a diagram beside it which outlines the face and the teeth, and then you've got beside that smiling essentials.
Yeah, exactly, because as we are like a survival guide, then we want to, you know, show the people how to do things as well. From Japan, we feature the story of Ryuichi Ichinokawa, which is the founder of a rent-a-friend business. So basically what he does is just like he employs around 50 people. And whoever needs like either like a best man, because he doesn't have one for his wedding.
That's how it started, right? He was asked to be a best man at someone's wedding, and the other person wrote the speech, and he went along and performed it at the wedding.
And then he took on and then started setting up like other roles.
Mauro, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Julian Knowles is an Australian performer and composer specialising in new and emerging technologies. Julian, how is technology affecting the future of performance?
Well, I think it's pretty much changing everything because as computer technologies are getting faster, they're being used more in real time. So you're seeing performance becoming increasingly mediatised. So you might go and see any kind of performance, even if it's just like a band playing, and you're seeing very elaborate AV, very, very elaborate media. So essentially what we're seeing is computer technologies coming onto the stage and being used to surround performers in media, or to have performers, in fact, control media. So the way we're working with it is we're actually equipping the body with sensors. So these are wearable devices. So you might have flex sensors on your arms or accelerometers. Accelerometers are just things that sense left, right and up and down movement in the much the same way that a games controller or a Wii remote might do. So we're equipping the body with a range of sensors that put out data. They're sent wirelessly to computers, and then we're writing software that allows us to control video and audio parameters.
So where do classics sit with this new technology then?
In the past, media elements were added as some kind of design element after the fact. The show would be blocked out. But now we're talking about, well, if we start with media, can we actually completely invert the whole idea of how performance work is developed? So for us, the inquiry is as much process-based as product-based. So yes, we are definitely saying, look, we could do narrative text-based theatre, but we would actually turn the whole process around.
Julian Knowles, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Patricia Flanagan is an Australian artist who lives in Hong Kong and the founder of Wearable Technologies, the Haptic Interface. She started as a fashion and costume designer and is now taking in the digital age. What are some of the objects? I know you've got hats and shoes. Tell me a little bit about them.
So an example, we had a programmer or a computer scientist from Rio de Janeiro who... He said he'd like to invent something to stop him snoring, waking up his partner when he's snoring at night. So he said when he wears a skivvy, this is actually helps him. So I came back the following morning with some drawings, and I ended up with something that looks like a surreal sculpture. It's a kind of like an egghead made of felt. And so we put a vibration monitor around the neck, and we put a little, like the silent ring on your phone inside the hat. And so whenever it picks up that snoring sensation, it buzzes. But it really is... like quite a funny looking visual as well. I mean, it's a bit like a cloud around your head. That's developing into another further work. I'm quite interested in the notion of what's being called social jet lag, the way that we all through the week, you know, our body clocks are quite out by technology keeping us awake. So this is being called social jet lag.
What are some of the things that you've experienced yourself maybe through doing this, or other people have told you about their experiences?
We've just developed one that I'm taking to Las Vegas next month, and it's got a microphone in the collar, and so it's taking the sound of your voice. It's transferring that signal to another person who's wearing the device. The device is like a large basket head piece, and it's got lots of protruding sticks coming out of the front of the brim, and in the back there's a motor, so it wiggles the sticks around and the bamboo all clacks. So essentially it transfers voice and language into rhythm and visual patterning. And because of the hat itself, it's a bit like a Victorian bonnet. It's quite this big cone shape, very insect-like thing. But when you're inside it, it is completely all-encompassing. So language becomes detached from communication in another way. So this way it's looking at language as a pattern and a rhythm. So I'm quite interested in the potential of changing things into different patterns and then being able to look at them in a new way. So whether that's voice into visual and just seeing what the experience is.
Back to Jess Scully, the Artistic Director of Vivid Ideas.
I mean, there's lots of different ways to engage with the event. We have a bar that's open from 7 p.m. every night, and we have pretty much the best view of the lights of Vivid as well. So pop up to the top floor of the MCA, level 6, from 7 p.m. any night during Vivid, and you can. There's a whole lot of free talks happening at 7:30 every night, as well as our paid program. There's a whole slate of exhibitions, from the Powerhouse Museum to here, some pop-up shops down at the bottom of the MCA. There's so many different ways to get involved.
Regina Botros speaking with Vivid's Festival Director Jess Scully and with some of the artists at the festival, which is on in Sydney until next Monday, the 10th of June. And if you go to our website, you'll find links to some of those events that we're hearing about there and some of the talks that are on at Vivid. And the music in that story was by the artist Julian Knowles.